This weekend, this past week, we've celebrated Independence Day. Freedom. We celebrate freedom from tyranny. Freedom from the rule and the control of a government that our forefathers felt was unjust. We celebrate the independence to live a life of our own, one of our own choosing. We celebrate the guarantee that we can worship as we will. Worship without persecution or without being prevented from that worship. As our nation, the United States and America, was formed, its leaders aspired to guarantee those freedoms that they desired. And many people sacrificed everything that they had for the benefit of us, who now reap those benefits of their labors. Those people understood that nothing in this world is free. Everything costs something. And what's interesting when you really think about it is that for those people that have died for our freedom, none of them benefited for the sacrifice that they gave. They were dead. They were gone. That is the ultimate sacrifice, to give one's life for something that you believe in. And in our history, literally thousands of people have died either to gain or to preserve our freedoms. Literally, those people have died so that we don't have the government sitting here keeping tabs on us. So that we have freedom from that government's tyranny. I could spend a lot of time talking about how those rights have been infringed on. We're not going to go there today. My point is that blood was shed. Lives were given that we might benefit. And so when we look at those sacrifices, what can we do about it? Well, first of all, we remember. That's why we celebrate the 4th of July. That's why later this month we're going to celebrate our powwow. We call it the homecoming powwow. And we honor our veterans. Now those that have gone before, those that have made that ultimate sacrifice, they can't hear us. They don't know that we're honoring them. So that's not why we're doing it. We honor them because of how it affects us. And we honor our current veterans, the ones that are alive, on behalf of those that have gone before us. Because they have chosen that same path. So in our own way, we say, we honor you because you are worthy of being their representative. And that's how we honor the sacrifice that we have seen go before us. But now there's another way that we must honor those sacrifices. And that is that we take those freedoms that they paid for and we use them properly. What value is there of someone's death to buy me the freedom to worship God if I don't worship God? Let me give you an example. If someone were to give me a gift, let's just say that somebody gave me a blanket. If I take that blanket and I turn around and I chuck it in the trash can, what have I said to the person that gave it to me? I said, I don't respect you. I don't respect what you paid for this blanket, the sacrifice you made to give it to me instead of keeping it for yourself. I said, that gift was worthless. I don't think anything of it. I throw it away. But if I take that blanket and I use it on a cold night, even if they don't see it, my use of that blanket honors them. It honors their gift, their sacrifice. Or perhaps I have a blanket. So I put that blanket in a place where I can see it, where when I come across it, I think of that person who gave it to me. Now, for those of you that have been in our house, you know that on that north wall of our living room, there are a number of quilts and blankets hanging there. Connie and I don't need them to keep warm. But we can go through that display, if you will, and say, that blanket came from here. That quilt came from there. And when we do that, we honor the memory and the sacrifice, either that that person made, those persons made, or their family made, in order to give that gift. And while I've been told that it's permissible for me to re-gift those things, and perhaps someday I will, nonetheless, I want people to understand that when they have given me something, especially something that cost them, that I value their sacrifice. And I remember it. And if it's on behalf of someone else, I want to remember who they were and their importance to the one that brought the gift. But something more valuable than the blood of American veterans is before us. Turn, if you will, in your pew Bibles to page 1156, Ephesians 1. I want to read verses 7 to 14. Ephesians 1, 7 to 14. This is talking about Jesus. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. Through the sacrifice of soldiers, we enjoy American freedoms for the years that we live here. Through the sacrifice of Jesus' blood, we enjoy his freedoms for eternity. And that eternity has already begun. Even now, we can have freedom from sin. The guilt of our past actions can be taken away from us if we are willing to give them to Jesus. We don't need to suffer the bad dreams and the guilt of the sins that we've committed. Now, I want to really point that out. We have people that we are well acquainted with that suffer because of the memories that they are dealing with. We see it particularly in our military people. I was talking to a man just the other day. I think it was the Korean War that he came out of. And to this day, it's in the front of his mind. And when you have a conversation with him, he talks about it. He remembers those horrible things that he was part of. How do you get rid of that? There is no earthly way that we can put those things behind us. We're not capable of that. And yet, God can do it. And in some ways, some of us don't want to give those things up. And I'm not being an accusatory person against this particular individual. I'm just saying that some of us hold those memories and that guilt because we don't want to give it up. We want that excuse for the lives that we live. We want to be martyrs and be recognized as martyrs. I gave this up for so-and-so. And so we wallow in our self-pity when God has already forgiven us. And if God can forgive us, why can't we? Now, if you haven't given it to God, and God hasn't forgiven you, well, deal with it, because you're going to deal with it for eternity. This is only the beginning. And the horrors that keep coming back to you are going to just get worse. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says this: "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." You see, Jesus died for us. Jesus shed his blood to put all of that stuff behind us. And God says, all you got to do is believe. Let me have those problems, and I can take care of them. So let me ask you, when he offers that, do you take that blanket and chuck it in the trash? Or do you use that freedom that he's offering to you? Hebrews 12 says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that's so easily entangled. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So how do we celebrate? How do we honor? How do we remember the sacrifices of the soldiers that bought our freedom? We live thankfully under our own laws and our government, and supporting them and supporting one another. When we declared our freedom from Great Britain, we built our own government structure. Here in Winnebago, we have our own laws, our own government, a structure that we have designed and we have submitted to and said, we will live under this because now we are free to live the kind of life that we want to live, and we have laws in place to protect us from those around us who would do us harm. And we submit ourselves to those laws for the benefit of the people around us and for ourselves. But Paul describes it a little more strongly than just saying submitting ourselves to the government or whatever. Romans 6, starting at the 16th verse. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, he uses that word, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now let me stop there a minute. You see, when we submit to the laws around us, Paul is saying we're kind of slaves to those things. Not that that's a bad thing, but nonetheless, we have given up some of our own will, if you will, for the safety and the value of this sacrifice. Going on at verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin, as the United States was set free from those who were tyrants over them. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. That means we submit now to our own things we've designed, but Paul says to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how do we celebrate, honor, and remember the sacrifices that Jesus gave to buy our freedom? And the answer is, we use those freedoms. We use what he has offered us, just like that blanket, to the best of our abilities. We use it in a way that honors the giver, the one who made sacrifices. We serve those around us with our talents, our possessions, our time, our education. We serve with our lives. We acknowledge that everything we have is a gift of God, and we thank him for those gifts. We don't thank Mother Nature. After all, God made nature. And when we marvel at the power of the storm, as we did this last week, we marvel at God's power and at God's grace. And we thank God for his care. We don't honor Mother Nature or Mother Earth. We don't worship the created. We worship the Creator. And if someone made some small sacrifice and prayed to whomever gods they made up, we don't honor them and say, wow, you did a good job. We honor God, the Creator, the maker of life, the one who created that storm, and incidentally, who saved us and our property from destruction when all around us trees were falling. This time, God was merciful. He showed us his power. And didn't hurt us. Let me suggest to you that if you want to say, boy, he didn't let us get hurt because we're good people. We say our prayers every day. Aren't we good? Or maybe we prayed and we offered tobacco to Mother Nature. And God is going to say, what? Who's Mother Nature? Who's Mother Earth? I made the earth and the sun and the moon and the storm. Remember my sacrifices for you. Honor the gift that I've given you. And remember where it came from. As we celebrate our political freedom in America, let us also celebrate our spiritual freedoms in Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes these are hard truths. And we want to balance what we want with what you want. What we want to believe with what you want us to believe. Forgive us. Thank you for your lesson this past week. The awesomeness of the storm, your creation, and your care within it. Now be with us this week. Make us your own. Help us to be your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.